Now, here is the star of Cats and Cosby. And if Rita was on the phone, I would say, here's the star of Cats and Cosby, John Catsimatidis. Thank you so much for being on Another Side of Midnight. John had a unique experience. He was in a huge Hollywood movie with Timothy Chardonnay, as I call him. Timothy Chardonnay. It was up for an Oscar, didn't win an Oscar. I was watching the Academy Awards. Maybe you did. I watched it for about 2 minutes, and I was so appalled by what Conan O'Brien had to say, I just really had a tough time looking at it anymore. But you, sir, is now an insider and a key player in feature film. John Catsimatidis, what was your reaction to the Academy Awards?
Well, I was very, very disappointed. I mean, Timothy Chalamet and Marty Supreme was nominated for 9 awards. Now, I mean, we didn't think we'd win 9 awards, but, you know, when you're nominated for 9 awards, you figure, well, you know, maybe you've won 2, 3. When you win 0 out of 9, that is an oxymoron. I mean, right. it was a very decent movie. A lot of people liked the movie. A lot of people saw the movie. I don't know what the final raise was, but there were way over $100 million. It was a fun movie to do. It was a fun movie to see. It made you laugh. It made you cry. We laughed, we cried. I mean, it was really a good movie. Timothy Chalamet, he was pretty good. The women always loved him, and there was a few scenes in there that when I interviewed Kevin O'Leary, and I think I told you about it once. It was a fun movie to see. Were you shocked, Walter?
I couldn't believe you didn't win anything. If worst case, you should have won set design for making the 1952 New York City come back to life. It was astonishing how much it looked like the Lower East Side. It was great. The costumes, all of that stuff was flawless. And then, yes, Timothy did a great job. And I have a question for you about Kevin O'Leary. Did you get to spend any time with him? Did you talk to him?
Not during the movie. We knew each other because we've gotten together before. He's a Canadian. A Canadian that wanted to become more famous in New York. I mean, he made a deal with Fox, and he's on Fox all the time for one reason or another. He had one scene, but we didn't talk about it until after the movie was made. Timothy Chalamet and Kevin O'Leary played the character of a boss of a company. A worldwide company that made pens or something like
right,
that.
Right, 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 right. Ink.
Ink. I guess they used ink. You know, everybody used ink in 1952. And Timothy Chalamet snuck into a big party he was having. And you could see he's the type of boss that you don't want to work for.
Mm-hmm.
He had that sloppy, sarcastic-looking face that you knew you didn't want to work for him. And he really, it's a kind of boss that you don't want to work for. And he was sitting around. It was a black tie party from the 1950s with other bosses that you didn't want to work for either. And they were just laughing about things. They were laughing at everybody, laughing at the world. Timothy Chalamet steps up to him and says, and Kevin says, how did you get into this party? I saw an open window and I came in, or I saw an open door and I came in. And he said, and he has a sneer on his face, and he said, I have to go to Japan. I got to go to Japan. Japan's waiting for me. I'm going to win the big award, the big ping pong championship of the world. You have to send me to Japan. And he says, you really want to go to Japan? Says, yes, yes, yes. Go into my office down the hallway over there, and there's a paddle on my desk. So Timothy Chalamet goes down to the office and he comes back. And he comes back and he says, here's your paddle, Mr. Sir. And he says, you really want to go to Japan? He says, yes, yes, I'll do anything. And you see that smile on his face, that real, you know, the kind of boss that you don't never want to work for. And he gets that. And he says, you really want to go? He says, yes, yes. He says, well, drop your drawers. Drop your pants. And bend over. Says, you want me to drop my pants? Drop your pants and bend over. You really want to go? So Timothy Chalamet drops his pants, bends over. And the whole world seeing his rear end. And he said, so I laughed when I was interviewing Kevin O'Leary. I said, well, I guess he was a double. He says, we started with a double, but we were doing so many takes. By midnight, Timothy Chalamet says, I want to do it myself. So I said, that was really Timothy Chalamet's butt? So when a million women listened to my show, heard that was really Timothy Chalamet's butt. And in the movie, an extra million women went to see the movie.
Because of you, yes.
Yep, because yep. That was really Timothy Chalamet's butt.
You and I are talking. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It'll be in history.
It'll be in history. This is Mr. John Catsimatidis. Katz and Cosby host and the Katz Roundtable host and the owner of the Red Apple Audio Networks and the owner of WABC. I was fascinated by the fact that you, changing subjects, sir, I'm fascinated by the fact that, especially now, you own an oil refinery. And I want to ask you what it was, what about running an oil refinery that when you got involved and you started to run it, has been a big surprise to you. But first, I want to ask, the price of gas, what percent of the price of gas that I pay at the gas tank per gallon, what percent of that is local and state taxes? How taxed is that gallon of gas? Because I believe that if any governor's really concerned about the price of gas today, they have a lot of power to lower it.
Well, absolutely correct. I mean, a barrel of oil is 42. When you hear it's $100 a barrel. A barrel of oil is 42.5 gallons. So when you divide $100 by 42.5, whatever it comes out to, $2.20 or something like that. And then is a processing cost. It costs money to process the and I forget the exact number. I thought it was maybe $2.50, $3 a barrel. So, and then when you process the barrel of oil, you get, if it's 42.5 gallons, after you process it, it's, some products are lighter crude and some are heavier. In other words, you can get 45 gallons.
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them? or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
This episode is brought to you by Cologuard. Do you know what's really scary? Not screening for colon cancer when you turn 45. The Cologuard test is non-invasive, requires no special prep or time off work, and ships right to your door. In just 3 simple steps, Cologuard takes the scare out of colon cancer screening. If you're 45 or older and at average risk, ask your healthcare provider about the Cologuard test. Cologuard is available by prescription only. Learn more or request a prescription today at Cologuard.com/screen.
Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
This is Bayard Winthrop, founder of American Giant. We make all our clothing right here in the U.S. with American cotton and American workers. Get 20% off your first order when you use code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com.
Out of a barrel of oil after it's processed, because you break down the molecules and allow it to expand. In other words, jet fuel or depending on what items you want to get back, diesel fuel, jet fuel, regular gasoline, high octane gasoline. There's like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different products you can get out of it. So let's say you end up with 45 gallons and you start off with $100 and et cetera. And then there's transportation costs to get it to the people that need it, to the gas stations, et cetera, et cetera. And the rest is, taxes and whatever profit the gas stations make.
So the taxes
Did I say cheap enough, well enough for everybody to understand it?
Yes.
Whatever? Yes.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, sir. When you started, now here you are, a brilliant grocer, a brilliant food retailer, started in the business in produce, worked your way up, wound up owning the company, and now you own an oil refinery. Day one, first week, there must have been a couple of things about owning an oil refinery that surprised you, that made you go, whoa, I had no idea. Could you tell me one or two of those things?
Well, another funny thing is, I bought the company while it was in bankruptcy.
Right.
I was directed to it. And I was in bankruptcy court. At that time, we were in the real estate business and we were in this food business. We were in the airplane business. We owned an airline. Called Capital Airlines. It was the 11th largest carrier in the country, and we owned a corporate jet company, because I started the company that eventually became NetJets.
Oh, wow.
And so Capital Airlines, it was about 1983. We knew when People's Express entered the market that the airline business is going to be a challenge. What happened? People's Express was one of the biggest frauds in Wall Street ever. We didn't know about it at the time, but they were selling tickets to go from New York to Los Angeles for $99.
Right.
Now, even the fuel, to put the fuel in the airplane costs more than $99.
Right.
And a ticket to go to Puerto Rico for $49 and $39. But how consumers are. Oh, my God, I can go to Los Angeles for $99. Or I can go to Puerto Rico for $49. I said to my partner at that time, we was a public company, I said to him, his name was Farhad. Farhad, he was Iranian, a good guy. I said to him, I think we have to sell this company. There's no way you can sell seats for $99 and stay in business. So he sold it to somebody. And the guy who sold it to a senator, Senate Majority Leader of Puerto Rico. Oh, my God, I can't remember his name. And he was financed by Drexel Burnham of Puerto Rico.
Wow.
And I said, but we kept the airplanes as collateral. So I said, okay, let's sell it to him. Okay. And off we go to the races. And the reason he wanted to buy it is he owned a bunch of hotels. The old Americana Hotel in Puerto Rico, if you remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a famous, 40 years ago, that was a famous hotel in Puerto Rico, the old San Juan. He was going to use the airplanes mostly to fill up his hotels. I said, okay, that is the bill of sale he sold to the investment bankers, Drexel Burnham. So we wait 6 months. You know, he starts operation. And before you know it, machine kaput. Remember those words?
Yeah.
Machine kaput. And he's in bankruptcy already. So we go to bankruptcy court and said, the trustee, Joe Reese, a French guy. He says, well, we're here to get our airplanes back. And he says, would you like to buy an oil refinery? And then he says, a oil refinery. He says, it has 400 convenience stores. I said, 400 convenience stores? You remember, I was in the supermarket business.
Right.
So I heard 400 convenience stores. My eyes lit up.
Yes.
My eyes lit up. So I jumped into the looking at it. And I said, 400 convenience stores. I didn't even know what the oil refinery was doing. And I go there and I said, okay, I'll buy it. But don't forget, we had money because we made money because we were in the real estate business. I was buying real estate in 1977 when the world was coming to an end. We had what a mess we had in 1977 in New York City. I was buying real estate because I was so stupid I didn't know any better.
Right.
So I bought real estate for $5 million, $10 million, a bunch of real estate in New York. And when I woke up in 1980, it was worth $100 million. I said, holy crap, you know? And so I said, all right, we'll go to bankruptcy court. So we went to bankruptcy court, and we got the stock of the thing. All of a sudden, I woke up and... We bought the company for $7.5 million or $7 million. And we gotta go meet the creditors
now.
You
bought an oil refinery for $7.5 million plus how many convenience stores? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. I became the CEO, but don't forget, they owed $100 million. $100 million was a lot of money in 1983.
And you had to assume that debt?
Well, at that point, I had to go see the bankers in bankruptcy court.
Right.
So I sit down in New York City, and there's one of these law firms downtown with a conference room table 100 feet long. And there was maybe 50 lawyers in there, and plus their clients, plus the bankers. I'm 100 feet long. Could you imagine 50 lawyers, how much the billing rate was in that day? How much money they're charging just for being at the meeting?
Right.
And the head of the lawyers, I forget what his name is, I think Jeff Chase. And he worked for Chase Manhattan Bank. But not no relation or something. Jeff, I think... And he says, Mr. Katzmatidis, what the heck do you know about running an oil company? I said, something stupid. I regret, you know how certain people say stupid things once in a while?
Yeah.
Well, it was my turn to say something stupid. I said, he said, you're in the food business. I said, olive oil? Wesson oil, Mazola oil. I said, it's all oil.
That's great. That's great.
And
what did they do? What were their faces like? What were their faces
they
like?
They were really pissed off. The meeting ended, and then I have to go back every 30 days or every 60 days, 30 days, and report back to financial statements. I became chairman and CEO. And I go back 30 days later, same room. 100-foot conference table, 50 lawyers billing whatever they're billing. I mean, if the lawyers are billing $500 an hour, which is a lot of money in 1983, 84, that's almost 45 years ago. So the billing rate is like $30,000 an hour, $50,000 an hour. So I sit down and I said, Mr. Katz-Matthews, you're supposed to present your financial statement. I said, okay, I'm prepared. And, you know, I had taken over the company, and we were fixing things up and making some efficiencies, and I had the confidence of the people that were running the company. I think we had like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 employees, and their jobs were at stake. And I sat there at the end of the table, and he says, Mr. Cassidy, where's your financial statement? And we distributed the financial statement. And I had started to straighten the place out. And he says, how much money did you make last month? I said, well, we distributed. You have the financial statement in front of you. For the last 30 days, for last month, we made $7.5 million. In 1 month.
They turned
colors.
I bet.
And it was no longer, do we want you to be chairman and CEO? How are you going to pay us back your $100 million? And then we owed them another $29 million in interest. Because, you know, a company in bankruptcy accumulates the interest. It's not paying anything. And I said, I'm going to pay you back. Usually in bankruptcy court, you pay back 30 cents on a dollar.
Right.
40 cents on a dollar, you know, whatever. And you make a deal. I said, I'm going to pay you. See, this is how stupid I was. I'll pay you back 100 cents a dollar, plus I'll pay you all the interest we owe you.
Oh.
They turned colors again. How stupid can this kid be? But we'll take it.
Yeah, they weren't going to argue with you about that.
We'll take it.
No, they weren't going to argue.
So it's no longer should Katz-Matthews run the company. Of course we want you to run the company. Pay us. And we made a deal that we're going to pay him back the $100 million over 10 years, $10 million a year. And the company was making money. So we were sitting on $30, $40 million in cash. And this is the company I bought for only $7.5 million.
That was the best move ever. This is John Katz-Matthews, the host of Katz and Cosby and the Katz Roundtable and the owner of the Red Apple Audio Networks and the owner of WABC. And I want to tell you...
That was a better deal when I bought WABC. I'll tell you that story someday.
Yes, I want to hear that story someday because I know what a good deal it is, and it was brilliant. When you did it, I can't tell you how many people in the radio industry hit their foreheads when he got it for that. Oh, my gosh. But I want to share something with you because I'm a new guy here, and I learned something very important about you as a boss. I learned something very important about you as a manager, and you should own this one. This is important. Every single person who has welcomed me to your company, welcomed me to the Red Apple Audio Networks, every single person on this staff has said the same thing that I've never heard at a company before. Every one of them says, welcome to the family. Now, that's you. You go to Cumulus or iHeart, they don't say welcome to the family. They say, well, good luck. but here they all say welcome to the family, and that's because of you and Margo, and you should be proud of that.
Well, you know, we work together, all of us, and when the morning host Sid Rosenberg was off on Friday, he's going to be off again on Monday. I guess he. By the way, the schools are closed because of a Muslim holiday on Friday.
Yeah.
Friday was the Muslim holiday.
Right.
And you know, I didn't even know the school. I didn't know until I learned about it. All the public schools were closed in New York and New Jersey, and that's where our headquarters is. And that's why Sid Rosenberg, our star, morning star, wanted to take off, take his young kids away or whatever. And, you know, I always took my kids away when the schools were off. Who jumps in at 6 o'clock in the morning? I was in the studio by 5:30 in the morning, and I did the morning show for 4 hours between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., and I'm going to do it again Monday because I work with everybody. I don't ask anybody to do something that I would not do myself. And I guess that's part of the success. And I write it in my book.
Yeah.
And
The book, How Far Do You Want to Go? How Far Do You Want to Go? This is the best business book a person could ever have and not a bad life book. John Catsimatidis, I have to open your ATM now and take care of you. So we're going to do a hard break. I appreciate the amount of time that you've given this show this morning. Thank you for the job, Mr. Catsimatidis. I appreciate
it. And I woke up for you.
You woke up for me, and I'm sure I'm going to hear about it for a long time.
No, so. It's okay. I enjoy doing things, and I enjoy talking to you, and thank you for the job you've done and entertain people, because the other side of midnight, the purpose is to learn and entertain, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. John Catsimatidis.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Data isn't just information, it's influence. In a world shaped by algorithms, the real impact comes from the people behind them, those who bring judgment to the numbers and ethics to the decisions. At Virginia Tech, the MS in Data Science prepares you to turn insight into action and strategy into real-world impact. Be the mind behind the model. Learn more at data.science.vt.edu.